Thank you very much, Dale. It's not about us. It's about God. And I just get so excited when I see God working in our lives. Don't you? This morning, I just want to just thank God for mothers. I think mothers are so special. As I think my mother is not here, but I have so many mothers here. You ladies are my mothers, the only mother that I can see. And as I was driving down, up and down Kipling this morning, I was jogging and I saw a lot of these ladies selling flowers. Did you see them? And I had 1 cent in my pockets. I went to each one of those ladies and I said, you know what? I want to pray for you. Some of them were too young to be mothers. I said, I want to pray that you be good mothers. And their faces just lit up. But of course, I reached near the church and there was another mother there. And I talked to her and she said, would you, she was the only one who said, would you buy my flowers, please? Guess which country she came from. India, of course. We Indians know how to twist your minds and hearts. And she was so nice. She said, please buy my flowers. I said, on my way back, I will surely buy your flowers. But it is about mothers. It is about what God has done in our hearts to draw us close to one another. I cannot fathom, believe me, I cannot fathom what I would do without this church. As we walked in, you know the stories, how my son got sick and things like that. You know the stories. And you have been our family. So this is not about Sunil's ministry. This is about God's ministry in his family. And we want to look into, if you want to turn with me to Habakkuk, we're going to fly through Habakkuk. And I love the book Habakkuk. I don't know how you say it, but I like to say Habakkuk because he sounds like a good cook, right? And to me, he's a real good cook. But I know there are many of you, in following along with Warner's message last week, sometimes we feel we're tired. We're tired. We're involved with so much and we're tired and we just want to just go to sleep. And if you want to go to sleep this morning, go right ahead. Right? The Lord is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. But while you're sleeping, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So keep your pens ready, right? Not Sunil, but the Holy Spirit. Because we are going to enter into the temple of the Lord. And that's one jewel in Habakkuk that I find in Habakkuk 2:30. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. This is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. And I don't think we silence ourselves enough to be in his house. I would like to just, all of us, just silence our hearts just for a minute. Because he is here. Father, we want to thank you that you are here. As we silence our hearts from all the clutter of the world, speak to us. Speak to us and help us to obey your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is his temple, and the Lord himself was consumed. Disciples said when he was whipping those people out of this temple, the disciples said, isn't it known about him that my strong love for your temple completely controls me? I wonder how many of us are like that. That the love of the temple of God controls us. This is his temple. And as Jesus took the whip to
get the people out of there who were doing all kinds of other things. Jesus himself said these words, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And that just rejoices my heart, that God's house is for all nations. It's not for one nation. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Canadians. It's for all nations.
And in Matthew, we are told that the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Right from Genesis to Revelation, we listen to the words, all nations, all nations, all nations. God's cry would be the cry of Habakkuk, his vision to the 6.6 billion people of this world. And how we all know that without a vision, people perish. But you know what? God is still in the business of birthing visions, isn't he not? He is still in the vision of birthing visions. And that vision was not birthed just in my heart. It's amazing, at the same time that I was thinking, I came to Canada about 2 years ago wanting this vision. And this vision was pretty much the same as the vision of Habakkuk, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. This vision was birthed in my heart as I came into Toronto. And for 2 years, as I've been here, God has prepared my heart to see this vision come true and to be fulfilled. But of course, we cannot reach the whole earth, right? We cannot reach the 6.6 billion people. I am just a little old Sunil. So God has his ways to put people together. How will we reach the nations of the world? A lot of us know that a lot of the unreached people live in this 1040 window. You've heard of the 1040 window? How many of you have heard of it? I want some action today, right? I know you want to go to sleep, but I'm not going to let you sleep. There are 3 billion people in this 1040 window. 3 billion Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists. And a lot of these 1040 window countries are closed. Missionaries cannot go to places like these. So what does God do? He says, "Oh no, I cannot reach these people." No. God's ways are different. The window may be closed, but a door has been opened. A door has been opened in the 1040 window, and a lot of these people of the 1040 window are moving. And where are they moving to? Right to our doorsteps. Mississauga. Brampton has a place which used to be called Springdale. Now it's called Singdale, right? Mississauga, Toronto. Most of these places, 50% are what used to be called the visible minority. But look around in Brampton. The Caucasians are the visible minority. Where are they coming from? They're coming from all kinds of places, mainly China. That was in 2001. But right now, I think it's India and Pakistan, or in Sri Lanka, most probably. When did the Indians first come here? Any idea?
Long, long time ago.
Long, long time ago. Now, we're not talking his kind of Indians. We're talking my kind of Indians. And that is prophecy, by the way. When we had the missions conference, God moved my heart to say that the Indians will reach the Indians.
The Indians will reach the Indians. But first, the Indians need to be reached. We have been here 100 years. The South Indians, the South Asians. For 100 years. And not many churches have the vision to reach out to the South Asians. Or for that matter, to the Indians of Canada. But as we look in Habakkuk, Habakkuk had a lot of barriers. And if you look in Habakkuk chapter 1, there is a lot of things that were barriers, violence, wrongs that are tolerated, paralyzed justice. There were just so many barriers that Habakkuk couldn't see further. And when we look into the outreach to new immigrants in this country, there are a lot of barriers as well. They cannot get jobs because of the whole idea of no Canadian experience. There are language barriers and so many other barriers. But one of the greatest barriers is a shattered dream. And you've heard me say this story, and I will repeat it over and over again. When I was working as a job developer, looking for jobs for people, there came this man. He said, "Don't look for me a job because my heart is not good. I'm going to have a heart operation." So I said, "Fine." And the next thing I knew, he was in ICU. Somebody wrote to me from Pakistan saying, "My brother is in ICU. Can you go and visit him?" I went to visit him. And believe me, the nurses were weeping because nobody had come to see him. And he died on that table. I was the only person who had gone to see him. I didn't even know him. And I prayed for him on that table. I don't know if he heard me in his coma, but I know God heard me. And my vision to reach the immigrants became even stronger. I walked into another man's house yesterday, and he was sitting in his garage like that. And I called out his name, and I called out his name, and he was sleeping because he was drunk. Why? Because of the challenges of migrating here. In fact, the challenges are so great that he has become a drunk. And his wife pushes him out, his kids push him out, and he just sat there with his beers. And I talked to him, and he said, "Sunil, please come and see me. I have nobody in this country." Talk about Mother's Day. They don't have their mothers. They want to go back, but with what face will they go back with? Imagine coming to Canada. You tell everybody back home, "We're going to Canada, we're going to Canada." You reach here for 7 years, for 8 years. Things don't work out for you. You think you'll go back. And then nobody loves them. I am one of the privileged ones. I walked in here, and straight away I walked into Warner's office, and I was overwhelmed by love by a church like this. So I want to duplicate that. I want others to come in here and be loved by precious people like yourselves. If I were to ask you a question, why are the immigrants here? Or who would you say brought the immigrants here? What would you say? God. But why? Why would God bring people like me here, and we go through so much pain? Some of you may not remember, your parents went through the same pain that I am going through, and my people, because they were immigrants too, right? Look at these places. They are right here in this city, just across the road. But I believe God had a purpose to bring us here. And that purpose is found in this precious, precious verse, which has become another precious gem for me in Acts chapter 17, verse 25 and 26 and 27, where Paul was in the going to the people in Athens, and his heart was groping and burning and burdened because he saw so much idolatry. And then he went into the temples. Paul preached in the temples. I wonder where
he got that idea of going into the temples. But this is what he tells them in the temple. From one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now we know God is not far from us, but they don't. And God determined where they should be born, and where they should inhabit, where they should live, and who should surround them. God determines that. So, brothers and sisters, as you see people here in Kipling and Finch, the areas where Kipling and Albion, where we are looking at, it is God who planted them there, right at your doorstep. But remember, if we don't do the work of the Lord, just as Habakkuk cried out the woes, you remember the woes in Habakkuk? There are about 5 woes in Habakkuk, reminding them of the judgment that would come upon them if they did not preach the word of God. Just like the 4 lepers in 2 Kings, they said, why do we sit here until we die? We are not doing right. This is the day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell. If we sit here, church, we are going to die. We've got to go. Now, I love this church so much I love this pulpit and all these gadgets here. And I love preaching from this pulpit, but I've got to go. I've got to go. For your sake and for my sake, I've got to go and tell them that there is a God who is very near to them. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't tell them, they will tell us. And if not us, our children. And if not our children, our grandchildren. We see that happening so much here in Canada and in the States, it's not even funny. The biggest church today is whose church? Oprah Winfrey. 3 million people joined her just recently. And it's a New Age church. You look at the television every day. We just saw television the other day. The Sikhs were celebrating their function. And there were so many Caucasians who had become Sikhs. So many Caucasians who have become Muslims. So many Caucasians who have become Hindus. Are going into yoga, are going into the New Age movement, are going into all these TM, Transcendental Meditation. If we don't tell them, woe unto us. So God put a vision. He has to focus us. He has to help us to focus because the vision is just too big. And the focus came to this area, the Kipling and Albion area. Why? First, we saw the doctor's flea market. Anybody been there? Don't pet the dogs there, David. They got some of those rabies dogs there. But go and pet the people. Within half an hour, I was able to talk to 5 different nations in that mall. And they were all desperate for friendship. Nigerians, Chinese, you name it, they were there. Desperate. And not only that, but right at that Kipling and Albion area, 427 and Finch, is that big, huge temple. Anybody seen that temple? $40 million temple. And you know what people tell me? Oh, we want to see that temple become a church. I don't care about the 40 million. I care about the one soul in that temple. Is worth more than 40 million. Because that one soul needs to become the temple of Jesus Christ. The temple.
They didn't come just with their temples. They came with their gods. And their gods are right there. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Oh, what value is an idol since a man has carved it? Or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to the wood, 'Come to life,' or to lifeless stones, 'Wake up.' Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the earth be silent before him." The Lord is in me. The Lord is in you. He is in us because we are the temple of God. I took Pastor Warren into this temple. Ask him later on. He didn't want to come and preach that morning. Because he saw these people prostrating before these idols. And it hurt him. Isn't that it? And the attacks, most probably, from these demonic places. That's where God has called us to go. We cannot go and we cannot tell them unless someone is sent. How can they hear? How can they know unless someone has sent them? So God started preparing a team to go to this place. And so phenomenally, God prepared this foundation team, which is myself and my wife, and Thomas and Tina Yeo. They may be going on to some other work, but they've been the founders of this fusion, as we call it. And Peter Carpatua. Peter, right, there he is. And his wife, Rhonda, and their family. Just fantastically, the way God brought us together. And believe it or not, we are from so many different backgrounds and agencies. I came to join Crossworld, as you've already heard. Then I got connected with AGC. In fact, that was my first connection. Then from Peter and Rhonda, SIM, and the Carpatuas, and the Thomas and Tina, the Salvation Army. Amongst the six of us, we represent all these countries. And we speak Hindi, Punjabi, Gujarati, Kiswahili, Japanese, Korean, German, French, just the six of us, right? I don't know how many other languages speak. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that a thing of God? I believe so. So God brought us all together. And as Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "Write down the vision." Write down the vision. In another translation, it says, "Brand the vision." We must brand our vision. And we branded our vision. And our vision, every person has brands, right? Coca-Cola has a brand. Adidas has a brand. Westmount Park has a brand. So we branded our vision as fusion of people coming together from all nations. Fusion. And with that, our vision was to plant a church by reaching out to individuals, touching individuals' lives with Jesus, and also becoming an intercultural family, people of all nations together under one roof, and being incarnational in our approach, coming down like Jesus incarnated, coming down and meeting the needs, the felt needs of these people, and telling them about Jesus. Now the world knows about this pretty well. You see those flags up there? Guess where they are? Can anybody guess who hasn't seen this? Tell me. No! I wish it was. It is on top of Canadian Tire. Canadian Tire is wooing all nations. Is the church wooing nations? Walmart is selling saris. Sorry to say, but saris. Is the church doing anything like that? To woo the nations of the world to itself?
That is our work. And God has called us along with you to this exciting approach to reaching the nations of the world. And the breakthroughs are there. The breakthroughs only come, as Habakkuk was told, if you wait upon the Lord. For 2 years, we were preparing ourselves. And then some of you knew God took us into the mode of prayer. For 40 days, we fasted and prayed. We went into these temples. And we went into the mosques. We went into the Sikh temples. And we started praying. 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 Intercession is very important. And I know some of you, my mothers especially, downstairs you meet and you pray for us. And that is what is making this vision move ahead. And then people need to get involved. People from Summit have said, oh, we want to involve ourselves. We want to do something. You want to involve yourself? There are people out there who desperately need you. As I walked into this man who I told you was sitting in the garage, dead drunk. He has 3 daughters. One is deaf, cannot hear. I walked into their house. They have no beds. They sleep on the floor. Who can help people like that? So this past week, I've been going around. We're going to have a bicycle clinic. We're going to help their children and fix their bicycles. I already got 6 bicycles in my garage to give away. Can you believe that? In just a week. It can happen. We can encourage these people because God has blessed us so much. So we would challenge you to invest yourselves in a ministry like this. We're not wanting you to come out of Westmount. Stay here. But work along with us. We do have a challenge. And our challenge, God is working in that challenge. We are getting partners. Partners like yourself. Partners like Parkway Church and Bridletown. It is phenomenal to see AGC and Crossworld just come together and say, we want to do this thing. But we still have a challenge. And that challenge is a little financial challenge to see our ministry continue to grow. And we need to raise at least about $3,000 more. And we believe we will do it. You know why? Because right at the end, Habakkuk, it says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on heights. God will enable us to go on a great height. And if God moves you to become a prayerful partner, to consider becoming a financial partner, Warner has some of these things he'll talk about. You can write your name. But the key thing is to pray for us. To pray for our ministry. Because these things are happening. I just want to close with this. And some of you know that I've been working in a church in Hamilton. Now, there's another young man in Hamilton. He said, Sunil, I came to this country. He is from India. He says, I came to this country. I didn't know who God was. I was so broken. I didn't know anything. But as I used to walk looking for a job, some church members, I forget which church it was, some church members just invited me in and said, can you come and eat with us? We see you going up and down all the time. We would like you to eat with us. He came. He ate at their home. They took him to their church. The guy became a believer, but his wife didn't. There's a sad part to that story. His wife left him and went back to India. But this young man and his son have committed their life to Jesus. And they are reaching out to people in Hamilton. So there are things that are happening. And we are very encouraged that God is doing great things in this nation. But I think God can do much more as well. Especially as we partner together for the glory of God. May God bless you as we continue to develop our relationships with you and with Him. Thank you.